on staff, they here every day working, and there's not an outside group or some contract. These are staff people, love God, and they do a fantastic job. So we want to say hello to everybody watching online, everybody watching in North County. God bless you, and everybody who's visiting today. And let's give a shout out to all the people in the military watching. God bless y'all, military. And we got a powerful military Sunday coming up at the end of this month. We'll give you more information on, but we got some people coming here to bless us through the military. Listen, in light of the death of Junior Seau, we just want to ask you to pray for the family. Obviously, they're going through a hard time right now. Our whole city is going through a hard time. We're going to have a celebration at Qualcomm Stadium Friday night that you'll hear more about in the media. It has been a very difficult week. I want to encourage you, as you've seen about it on the news every day, and it'll be on the news all week long through the celebration Friday night, that you think about your life. You think about getting your house in order, and what I mean by that, your relationship with God, your relationship with people in your life. You have people in your life you have conflict with. Bury the axe. It's not worth it. Life goes by so fast. I've known Junior for 20 years. He was 43 years old. It's a baby, 43 years old. A very horrible thing. Death is inevitably coming to all of us. It is coming fast. So I want to encourage you just to slow down, take a pause, and reevaluate your relationship with God, your relationship with your family and your friends, and what your life is really all about. Because the devil will have you just go through life real fast trying to get what you can, and all of a sudden you look back and go, what did I just do? I just wasted my life and wasted relationships and people that you could have loved better, enjoyed more. So let me encourage you in that. If death is not close to you, it's hard to relate to what I'm saying. I just buried my grandmother 2 weeks ago, and then I had to deal with this, and we see death all the time around here at the church. But I just want to encourage you to just slow down, especially all of y'all who are young. How many of y'all are under 30 years old here, by the way? Okay. When you're young, especially when you're 20s and teens, you think you're going to be around forever. And you think that you're invincible. It's just the way it is. All of us went through that. I mean, the older you get, the more you realize that's not true. But if anything, just take time to appreciate your family. If your parents are hard on you, give them a hug and kiss and tell them thank you. Because life is tough. Life is tough. So I just wanted to tell you, just pray for the family, pray for Seau family, and then hopefully we'll see you at the stadium. I'm not sure how the ceremony is going to go. I've been asked to be involved. Don't know exactly what that means, but bring your friends, and hopefully God will encourage them that day. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness, and we pray that you bless us today, and pray that you would encourage us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me also encourage you, if you go online to the Union Tribune, I wrote an article that was in the paper Thursday, I believe. It's called Junior Seau, Larger Than Life. And that says a lot about what I would love to say to you or what I've said to the city. So on the UT online, under the commentary section, it's just Larger Than Life is the article. You check it out. Okay. Let's see your Bibles today. Try that one more time. We have breath in our lungs. Let's use it on three. Take a deep breath in. Say word.
Word.
Very good. Very good. Much better. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. Lesson plan. Let's turn to Luke 15. Luke 15. And if you are a visitor here today, welcome to church. If you are having a bad day, a bad life, it's the place to be. God can change your day. He can change your life. There are people sitting around you who had jacked up lives, and there are people sitting around you who still do have jacked up lives. And I was a cocaine addict for a while, and a bunch of other stuff, and God saved me. He can do the same for you. I don't know if y'all heard, amen. I don't know if y'all heard the latest gossip in the Inquirer. There's a lot of good stuff in the Inquirer, People Magazine, On The View. Let me see, where should I start? Oh, Floyd Money Mayweather. I don't know if y'all watched the fight last. How many of y'all do not know who Floyd Money Mayweather is? You do not know who he is. Raise your hand real high. Okay, wow. Okay, there's a sport called boxing where you put on gloves and you fight. Floyd Money Mayweather is a boxer. He will go down as one of the greatest boxers ever in the history of boxing. He's 43-0. Got a little thug element to him. He walks around strip clubs throwing money around. He's a little thug. And he had a fight last night against Miguel Cotto from Puerto Rico. Great fight. And he's walking in with all his belts. He's like, I don't know how many championships he has. He's never lost. He's got like 7 world championships, and he has all those belts. So he's walking in with 50 Cent on one side, and on the other side, he got Justin Bieber. The Biebs hanging out with the brothers, the thugs. They were like, what is Bieber doing in that picture? Something wrong with this picture. Guy's hair all moosed up, you know, walking in with his belt. So it was funny. It was comical. I didn't know the Biebs hung like that. So people talk about, you know, what's Justin Bieber going to be a thug? He's trying to be hard. I don't know what that's all about. So Justin Bieber got this new video where he's all hugging up on a girl, and all his little groupies are jealous because he's got this little video, steamy video. Oh, and then Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, the lip girl, they got married supposedly in secret. Then, let me see. Oh, there was an article in the Inquirer about Mariah Carey's sister has cancer. She's supposedly a call girl, supposedly what they say. That's what I heard. Then Ashton Kutcher, what was he doing? He was promoting his new potato chip, and they pulled the ad because it was racist. So that's what I heard. There's a lot of gossip out there. Mm-hmm. Y'all know it. Y'all with it, ain't it? Mm-hmm. We love to hear gossip. That's why the media loves to put it out, because we love to hear it. And this series called Exposed is not about the exposed failures of people in the media. It's about the exposed wickedness of our heart when we judge them. So today, in the next 4 weeks, I want to talk about our wicked, judgmental heart. How we love to see people fail. We love to predict the failure of people. We love to act like we know what we're talking about in other people's lives when we don't know what the heck we're talking about. So I want to talk about our judgmental heart. And I'm going to go through different celebrities or different people and different issues. We're going to talk about Floyd Money Mayweather, and we're going to talk about our opinion of rich people, because we see him driving down the street, which literally he does with his convertible and just throw 20s up in the air. Literally throws money out to people. That's what he really does. And people look at that and go, man, and they start criticizing him. Well, what does that say about our heart? I'm not saying what he's doing is right. But what does it say about our heart? In this room, we have Democrats and Republicans. We have Obama lovers and Obama haters. And I was with Obama a couple weeks ago, and well, how are you with him? And, oh, it's great to be with him. And then I saw Bush the other day. What are you doing? None of your business. I'm just a pastor. I'm just trying to love on people. That's it. But what does that say about our heart when we get so riled up about politics? Politics ain't gonna save nobody. Kim Kardashian, drama mama. We're gonna do a sermon on all the reality show drama mamas and all that stuff. Lindsay Lohan, all that kind of stuff. And what does it say about our heart when we criticize them? Lady Gaga, tolerance, her little monsters, all her little monsters are her fans. And the whole alternative lifestyle world, gay and lesbian and all that, blah, 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 blah. And what does it say about our heart when we criticize them? We're going to talk about that next week. So this whole 4 or 5 weeks, the 5 including today, I want to encourage you to come every week And I wanted you to, I encourage you to come on time. Now, every sermon series, of course, is designed to change people's lives. God's word changes people's lives. But some topics hit home different than others. I got a feeling this is going to hit home with a whole lot of us. And so I want to encourage you. And by the way, I'll say this. If you come and you heed to what we talk about, it's going to change your life. It will lower the stress in your life because you have a lot of more stress than you need to have because of gossip. Judging people. Hung up on this, hung up on that. You will learn to just let a lot of that stuff go. God don't want you in it. Okay, so in the story we're going to read, Luke chapter 15. In the story is about a guy named, his description is the prodigal son. It's a dad who had two sons. Everyone say dad. Say two sons. And when a dad had multiple kids, he would share his inheritance with his kids. But the oldest son got he got an extra share of all the other kids because when the father died, he would have to take care of the family. Well, in this particular story, the younger son says, I want my share of the inheritance. And he takes his share of the inheritance and he goes out and he gets buck wild. Goes to Vegas, gambling, going to strip clubs, you know, hanging out with harlots, prostitutes. Then he goes to TJ, same thing, going out there, getting drunk, tequila, tequila, tequila. He's just doing buck wild, going to the clubs, going to San Diego, LA. He's just getting wild. And all of a sudden, he finds himself with no money. He runs out of money. All his friends are gone because he got no money. And he finds himself in this particular story working in the pig slot, literally with pigs, feeding swine. Okay? And it's like you going out, getting buck wild, all of a sudden you got no money and your family's got well, you know, they're doing well. You could be living there and being fine. And then you sit home and then you find yourself working in a nasty job. Okay, minimum wage because you have no skills and you just wasted your life. And then it dawns on you that if I just go home to my dad, I don't even say, Dad, accept me as your son. Just make me one of your servants. I would be living better than here on my own. Now, let me encourage you. I'm not telling you to go live with your parents. Definitely not. You need to get out and stay out. Can I get an amen, parents? We love you, but we love you. You want to keep it that way. What I am saying, though, is that if you strayed away from God the Father, or if you said, Lord, I don't want to live under your roof. I want to do my own thing. You will end up feeding pigs. You will end up being a pig covered with slop. Now, for a while, it may go good. You're on your own. You got a job. You're doing stuff. One day is going to come crashing down on you because it cannot sustain itself without God. Simplify your life. How many of y'all are married? Raise your hand if you're married. Let me hear married people. Listen, y'all married? What's up? What's up? That's right. How many of y'all single? That's weak. Well, let me tell you something to all y'all married people and single people. You want to be happy? If you're married, just take care of your family. If you're single, take care of yourself. Fellas, you want to be happy, just make your wife happy. Dudes come to me all the time, hey, Pastor, I'll get married. I think I like this girl. You know, you have any advice for me? Guys are funny. This is like boneheads. Like, hey. I'm a guy, so I talk about, hey, yeah, here's how you keep, you want to be happy? Keep that girl happy. Do whatever she says. Now, do I do whatever my wife says? Most of the time, in the end, someone said to me, hey, man, you're the head of your house. And this kid said to me, I was trying to explain to him, man, keep your wife happy, you'll be happy. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody going to be happy. He said, but I'm the head of my house. I'm the head of my house. I said, you are the head and your wife is the neck and she can turn you any way she wants you to go. I say all that to say this, is that the devil's going to tell you to go Do your thing. You don't need your family. You don't need God. You don't. He's lying to you. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. So he comes home and he says, I'm going to go home and ask my dad to forgive me. His dad's going to forgive him. So let's read the story. It says, oh, by the way, the story is not about the kid who went out. The story that we're going to, the focus today in this story is his brother who judged him. We have fun. I have fun on Sunday. Verse 18, Luke 15:18 says, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and am no longer to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. He arose, came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and fell on his neck and kissed him. Do you know if you run to God, you know what he will do? He will run to you faster. Do you know you can't run faster than God? Do you know that? Yes? Do you know you can't think faster than God? You know you can't love better than God? And if you say, God, I'm sorry, boom, he's already there. Look what it says. It says in verse 21, the son said, Father, I have sinned in heaven and in your sight. I am no longer to be worthy to call your son. And the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe. We're going to honor my son. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. We're going to make him part of our family again. Bring out the fatted calf and we're going to kill it. We're going to have a red carpet and we're going to have a party. For this son of mine was dead. He is alive. He was lost. He was found. And they began to be merry. The oldest son was in the field. Here's the focus. This is you and me. The oldest son was in the field and he came and drew near the house and he heard the music and saw the dancing. He saw the strobe lights and limos pulling up. These people were in the window doing the bump. He was like, what's going on up there? Bump was played out. How many of y'all remember the bump? How many of y'all do not know the bump? We had a dance called the bump where you would, like, there would be another something, you bump hips, you bump whatever, you just bump. Whatever. What do y'all do today? Better than that? Y'all doing this. So he saw the dancing. In verse 26, he called one of his servants and said, what do these things mean? And his servant said, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the calf. Your father pulled out the best party he could ever give for your brother. Now, before I get into the brother's comment, the brother is us seeing other people fail. The brother is us seeing other people fail. When people fail or you perceive that they have failed or you want them to fail or you want to compound the failure, it's wickedness. How many of you know you have wickedness in your heart? Do we all have our hands? Keep your hands up real quick. Do we all have our hands up? Say yes. Yes, okay, keep your hand up. If you know you have wickedness in your heart, when someone accuses you of having wickedness in your heart and they agree with you, you should be okay with that. All they're telling you is what you already know. But it's not our job to tell them. Look what it says. It says, verse 28, he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father, Father, Lord, all these years I've been with you, serving you, and I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and you never gave me a young goat that I may make merry with my friends. Lord, Father, I've been here and I've been good. You never blessed me like that. As soon as this son of yours, oh, is that right? I thought it was your brother. Oh, look at her. She just a little huzzy. That's your neighbor. That's your neighbor. God says you love God and love your neighbor as yourself. You're not out there spilling your junk to people. Verse 30. As soon as this son of yours who devoured your livelihood with harlots. Well, how did you know he was with harlots? Maybe it's what you would have done. You know, it's amazing how much we think we know about people when we don't know. And how much we can impose on someone else's life when we don't know what we're talking about. Isn't that ironic that we know so much and we don't really know it? I wonder if what we're imposing on other people with our gossip is really what we would do. Verse 31, he said, "Son, you are always with me, and all I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother is dead, and now is alive. He was lost, and now he was found." Number one in your notes. Number one. The reason we are judgmental, one of the reasons, is because we have a PhD in meology. Meology. Ology is the study of biology, the study of biosystems. Christology is the study of Christ. Bibliology is the study of the Bible. Meology is the study of me. I am all about me. I study me all day. I write theses about me. I read about me. I think about me. I meditate on me because life is all about me. Everyone say me.
Me.
You have an inflated view of yourself. We think we're smarter than we are. We think we know more information than we know. We think we have a better ability to know why people do what they do than we do. We think we're cuter than we are. By the way, ladies, you can be so cute and someone else can be so cute at the same time. It's really okay. She could have a nice dress and you could have a nice dress at the same time. Actually, you both could have the same dress at the same time and it's okay. Fellas, ain't it okay? We ain't tripping that you both have the same shoes on at the same time. Someone else's success does not have anything to do with your success. It's okay. We think it's got to be all about us. I want you to write this down. Write down Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13, comma 17, which are two different verses. 18, verse 13 and 17. You ever watch court TV, or not court TV, but Dateline or 2020, when someone's getting, you know, convicted of murder and they have a case and you hear one side of the story, you go, man, they're guilty. And then the other attorney, they present the case. Oh, man, maybe they're innocent. You ever hear that? Yes? Yes, that's how it is with every situation we judge. We hear one piece of news, one. So-and-so did this, and all of a sudden we know the whole story. look at what this verse says. It says, I'll just read it to you. It says, "He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame." In other words, he who comes up with a conclusion without hearing the whole story is a fool. Verse 13, "The first one to plead his cause seems right until his neighbor comes and examines him." Hey, guess what they did to me? Oh, man, that ain't right. That ain't right. Wait a minute before you judge. Let's hear the whole story. How many of you know you have wickedness in your heart? Did I ask you that already? Raise your hand real high, just real high. Keep it up there. Very good. You can put your hand down. Say this with me then. If you raise your hand, say this with me. Say this out loud. There are times when I just need to shut my mouth. I need to shut up. Because there are times, and these times are most of the time, when you don't know all the facts, you never will know all the facts, and all the facts are simply none of your business. You have no right to know all the facts. Some people, I just want to know, and I got to figure it. No, you don't. No one put you in the middle of it to judge it. It is none of your business. You can actually walk away. You really can. You don't have to make a comment. You don't have to judge the situation. You don't have to come up with a conclusion. You really don't. And if you think about some of the conversations we get into and people talking about this person, talking about this person, you have to ask yourself, why are we having this conversation? What is the goal? It ain't to honor God. Just shut your mouth. Really. Some of you might be offended right now. You should be, because you got an issue. It's none of your business. Way above your pay grade. God knows things you know. My daughter graduated from college yesterday, went to the graduation. We were sitting up top, it was like 5,000 people watching the graduation, and they were announcing all the summa cum laude and the cum laude, and I don't even know what a laude is. I really don't. It's probably Latin for something. Okay. And this one guy graduated with a 4.0 in engineering physics. I was like, man, I want to meet that kid. So you have to understand, there's 5,000 people there. But when they said 4.0 in engineering physics, I saw he had a bushy hair and a beard. So I said, okay, I can pick him out. He was tall. I said, maybe I can find him in the sea of 5,000 people. Right. He happens to walk right by me, literally right here. So I grab him. I said, yo, man, are you the guy that had the 4.0 in engineering physics? He's like, yeah. And I said, tell me what was that about? And he was telling me about it. And I was an engineering student. I didn't graduate, much less have a 4.0. I had four classes that I still need to. He's telling me all this stuff. And, you know, it was like, there's so much information that God knows that we don't know. That's none of our business about other people. And we just need to stop talking. It's really that simple. And we need to stop thinking we have a responsibility to talk people down and throw darts at people. That's not our, God has not given us that right. He doesn't even do that. And he knows the whole story. Oh, it's madness. Number two, we have a brotherly love dysfunction. You will be told by people in your life, and ladies, you might want to tune into this. You will be told by a guy, I love you. And that guy's concept of love is not your concept of love. Love means different things to different people. Now, love is a very specific thing. Matter of fact, God is love. And God doesn't change. So God's love is the same, constant, yesterday, today, tomorrow. The problem is our understanding of that love is dysfunction. No. We don't love necessarily like God does. And the longer you walk with God, the more pure your love like God's love is will come out. But we have a brotherly love with dysfunction. In other words, we need to understand that God has called us to love our brother as he loves them and to be an agent or catalyst of redemption of people to God. So no matter who that person is, no matter what that person has done or said, we need to be a catalyst for redemption to God, not a condemner. God doesn't even condemn like that. God is always loving people, even those who hate him. So that's our job. No different. Since when do we say, okay, God, you want to love him, but I'm going to do this? That's what the devil does. Look at this, brother. Look what it says in verse 28. He says, he was angry and he would not go in the house. Verse 28, he was angry and he would not go in the house. He said, I ain't going to have nothing to do with blessing that dude. I'm going to have nothing to do with redeeming my brother. Where is that in the Bible? God says that we should lift, esteem others better than ourselves. Bear each other's burdens. Don't say anything, Ephesians 4:29, except what is useful for edification and gives grace to the hearer. Love our enemies. Forgive 7 times 70. That's what he tells us to do. But yet there are people who carry this book who do the opposite. And then use the book to justify. God's scratching his head going, that ain't the book that I gave you. It ain't the book. There are people here, matter of fact, our number one stolen item from our bookstore are Bibles. First, let me get you over the hump that people steal from a Christian bookstore in the church. That's hump number one to get over that one. No, hump number one is that you steal from a Christian bookstore, and then you steal from a Christian bookstore in a church, and then you steal from the Christian bookstore in a church on a Sunday. And then you steal a Bible from the Christian bookstore in a church on a Sunday, and then come to the church and try to read it and get blessed from the Bible you stole from the Christian bookstore in a church. And you know what the devil says? That's my boy. That's my boy. So here's what we're going to say, just as a quick note, as a little side note on that point. If you stole something from the bookstore, for real, this is real. We have done this many times and people have responded positively. If you stole from the bookstore, go in there casually, just walk around, find out how much it's worth that you what you stole. $20, $30, $100. Give us a little interest because we tablet it up, you know. And then go to the register, and this has happened, and say, no questions. And they will say, no questions, or they may scratch their head and just say, here, take the money, and then walk out. In other words, pay for it. Because we had to pay for it. Amen. Now, if you really, really need a Bible, and you want a Bible, we'll give you one. Amen. Just say, I need a Bible. I need a Bible. I need God. We'll give you one. We won't even make you cry. We'll just make you, you know, just ask. We'll give you a Bible. I was at the, in Oceanside the other day for Junior's thing, and all the reporters were there, and this reporter came up to me after, or in the midst of all that, and she says, I work for TMZ, and I go to the Rock Church, and I'm so glad I've never had to do a story on you. I was like, me too. Me too. You haven't been trying to do a story on me, have you? Can you imagine if your life, your thoughts, your critical words were on TMZ? You wouldn't like it. So stop pulling those people down. Stop. You can, really. Someone comes, you say, hey, you know what I heard? I don't want to hear it. Does it honor God? Number three in your notes. Another reason we criticize is because we have a genie-God relationship. God is your little genie in the bottle, so you think. God, do this for me, do this for me. Don't do this for that person. Why are you blessing that person? How can you not bless me more? It's all about me because I got a PhD in meology. Look what it says in verse 29. He said to his father, all these years I have been with you, serving you, and I never transgressed your commandment in any time, yet you never blessed me like him. In other words, God, I've been a good little Christian. I go to church every other week. I put $2 in the plate, and I let people cross in front of me without cursing them, and I'm good. And how come you haven't blessed me with $1 million and five fine wives? What's up, God? And why are you blessing that heathen over there? Do you know how bad he is? And why are you blessing that person? You know how bad? They don't even go to church. They're not as good as me. Wow. You know all of that. And now you're telling God what he should do? Wow. Is your name Jesus? Because he didn't even do that. There's got to come a time in our life where we say, Lord, I want you to purify my heart because I want to treat people like you treat me. I want to treat people like you treat them. Hebrews 10:24, it says, let us consider one another. Let us think about each other and how we can encourage each other to obey God. Think about that. Someone horrible happens to them, whether they did it on themselves, whatever, they're destroying their life, it doesn't matter. How can I help them obey God? How can I help them understand God's love for them? That has to be our only mindset. God has given us 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation and the message of reconciliation. Reconciliation is removing a wall between two people. So no matter what anybody says to you, someone can curse you out, talk behind your back. How do I get them to love God? Can you imagine the stress you would not have to have or you wouldn't have if you didn't have to defend yourself every day and you didn't have to prove yourself better than people every day and you have to out-argue people, out-gossip people to feel good about yourself every day. Imagine the stress you wouldn't have if you can go up to your enemy and say, hey, look, I know you dog me out. I know you talk behind my back, but I love you. Now, nah. And you can't hurt me. Imagine the freedom that would be. Imagine realizing, you know, I'm a sinner Yeah, I'm prideful at times. Yeah, I say things I shouldn't say. I have all these evil things. And you know what? I'm working on it. And then when someone says something about you, you could say, yeah, there's truth to that. And you don't have to defend yourself. I had a lady come to me at church years ago. We were at San Diego State. I used to stand in the front door and shake people's hands. And she was going by. She says, I've been mad at you for 8 years. I was like, who are you? What is your name? I said, what was it about? And I remember this person, I had this happen a couple times. This person told me, and I remember him telling me, I was like, that's all you know? I'm so much worse than that. Let's pray. Imagine if you had, now, I'm not saying stuff doesn't hurt me. But I'm saying imagine if you can be like that and get to that point. Imagine how free you would be. In a minute, we're going to pray. There's some of you in here who are either like the boy in the story who says, Father, please forgive me. God loves you. He wants to forgive you. Jesus died on the cross for your sin. And you need to come to him. He's not going to force himself on you. And then there's some of you in here, you have running your mouth. Your heart is there. In other words, you've given your life to Christ, but you know that God needs to do surgery on you. We're going to pray, and then we're going to have you have an opportunity to come forward. Now you're saying, well, I don't want to go down there. People are going to think that I'm this. We just talked about that. It don't matter what people think. People are going to talk about you no matter what you do. No matter what you do. You need to be concerned about what he's saying about you. Lord, we thank you so much for your faithfulness. Lord, why you put up with us and are patient with us and love us and bless us more than we deserve, we don't know. We can only explain it that you love us more than we can understand. But we acknowledge that we don't deserve it. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters here in the room. I pray for my brothers and sisters watching online. I pray for my brothers and sisters watching on the phone app. And we thank you, Lord, that you love us. If you know God, Jesus loves you. If you know he died for your sin, rose from the dead, and you want him to forgive you, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart in a minute. But then there's some of you in here, you know that you prayed that prayer, but you want God to purify your heart, your mind, your thoughts. You know your relationship with God needs to go to another level. I want you to pray the same prayer. It's a prayer of surrender. In the privacy of your heart, pray, dear God, I know you love me. I know you died and rose from the dead for me. And I know you know who I am. Jesus, please forgive me of my sin, my pride. I surrender my life to you. I surrender my life to you. Eyes closed, heads bowed. In a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand. If you're in North County, there's going to be people there who are going to pray with you. If you watch it online, the phone app, let us know right there on your screen that you pray with us. But right now, if you're sitting here in the sanctuary, if you prayed that prayer, I'm just going to ask you, wherever you are, to stand up in your seat right there in North County. Stand up. If you prayed that prayer and someone's going to pray with you, stand up. Stand up. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. Stand to your feet and acknowledge Christ in your life. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Very good. Anybody else? God bless you. Very good. 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 Anybody else? Stand up. We see you in the balcony. God bless you. We see you. God bless you. God bless you. Now in a minute, we're going to ask all of you who are standing I'm going to ask you to come down to the altar. If you're in the balcony, all you have to do is turn around and walk up, and the ushers will bring you down. So right now, if you're standing up, just come down to the altar. Let's give them a hand as they come on down. God bless you.